Good morning to each one. I am delighted to get to be here with you. There's some booklets being passed out. Everyone would take one. Just looks like this. I have loved Bible school ever since about 25 years ago. I didn't figure out how many years ago when I first got to go. And I still do. So I am delighted to be here with you. Bible school is always, you all don't have children sitting beside you, and it's just you. It's you, and in general, I get a lot of faces looking at me at Bible school. Other times there's more distractions, but so I really enjoy that. God bless you for your hunger, your thirst. God give you, continue to give you a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. I'm going to ask a request of you all, if you would pray for me. I feel kind of needy, and I told that to a few people, and they're just saying, praise God. Well, That's what the cliche is, right? When you're needy, then God could use you. I wasn't necessarily feeling that kind of needy. I was feeling the needy kind of needy. So if you'd pray for me, would you do that? Supposedly, the older I should get at it here. I only have a few minutes. Okay. I'll finish. Supposedly, when you get older, you're supposed to get more spiritual. Isn't that right? And I realize you all probably don't understand that real well, but when you get older, I've learned a few things, but I see a lot more problems too. And in me. And weaknesses. And I don't meet up to who I want to be. Anyway, so you pray for me. If you all would do that, I would appreciate it. I have more that I'm going to get shared with you all. I have five sessions. There are seven lessons here. I'm not sure. And I wanted to put others in here, so I only stuck seven. So I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to see how this goes. And I'd also like you to know that I'm going to try to quit five. I think I'm supposed to be done at 9:45. I'm going to try to get done at 9:40. That's going to be my aim. Sit down at 9:40, and I want to give you 5 minutes. And I'm going to ask you all to write something. Something that either stuck out to you, something you want to remember, something you want to pray about. If you don't have a pen or a pencil, raise your hand. Yes. Okay. Well, my voice usually picks up here after a bit, so. Okay. Thank you all. Open your Bibles. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. One, a favorite scripture of mine. So I was told, Mick, we want you to be very practical. And then they underscored that and said, you know, like really practical. And I think the person I was on the phone with might have said it three or four times. So like, be really practical. So as I was processing and praying, I'm going to try to be practical. But one thing that was deeply on my heart is, if you all go away with a list of 35 practical ideas, and it's not flowing from a heart that is caught up in this thing, and purposeful about it, and purposed, if the heart isn't engaged, I won't have accomplished as much as I wanted to. Do you know what I'm saying? So in one sense, I'm going to try to give you 45 or whatever, I don't know how many it is, practical suggestions. But on the other hand, at the beginning here, if you bear with me, and it'll go throughout because it's a bit of who I am, I want it to come from within. Listen to this verse. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, you all know it very well. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. As we begin, I want to give lots of suggestions, and that's why you find that on the front of this booklet, suggestions. But Jesus says this, Well, let's read in verse 28. One of the scribes came, having heard him reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel.'" This is a quote from Deuteronomy. "The Lord our God is one Lord." Verse 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." What word did you see four times in that last verse? All. Did you get that? All. Jesus said, love God with all. Young people, I'm trying to grow in loving God with all. Are you? If we love Him with all, that's a really, really big word. Right? All. But what I'm actually going to focus on is this concept of love. And I just want to encourage you to process this. I have here the title, Suggestions for Loving God, at the on page one there. Suggestions for Loving God. And so I have suggestions. You'll flip through it and see. Suggestions for prayer. Suggestions for Bible reading. Suggestions for fellowship. Suggestions for discipline. Various things in here. And we're going to look at all these suggestions. But as I processed it, I wanted to share this concept. And so I just stuck with it. Suggestions. So I'm going to give you some suggestions. Love God. Stimulate that love. And you think, I know. Oh, well, of course. That's duh. Jesus said to love Him with all the heart, all the understanding. This is Mark here, verse 33. To love Him with all the heart and all the understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. It's more than all of my suggestions. 45, I didn't count them. It's more than all those suggestions. If there's a love, and so I drew this little diagram. If you'll just look at it, okay? I'm not going to put it up here on the board. I think you'll see it better on your paper. I drew this little diagram, and so I want you just to process this little diagram a little bit with me. So we have an outer ring, and then there's an inner ring. And in between there, I wrote, doing the right thing. And there are various motivations for doing the right thing. And you see on the outside, see those arrows pointing in? There's various things on the outside that are exterior influences, that are godly motivations for doing the right thing. And then on the inside, you see the inside circle, it says love for God, and that I'm putting in there as an inner motivation for doing the right thing. You see this illustration? So there are many godly exterior motivations. And one of them I didn't put on here, and this is definitely just illustrative of various exterior motivations. This is not exhaustive in any way, shape, or form. One of them I should have put on there probably was preaching, because here I am. I'm an exterior motivation on you all here this morning. You're stuck listening to me, and I'm trying to be an exterior motivation saying, do the right thing. Right? And so these are godly motivations, but I'm going to emphasize, if I can do that, this inner circle here this morning, and say, where is your love for God? Where is it at? You process it. You think about it. You pray through it. Where is that motivation? I have seen in my own life and in others, it's not uncommon that we as people and young people, commonly as we go through life, there are many motivations that are motivating us and we make right choices. And again, that's a godly thing. But I've sat with people and I've wondered how much is actually motivating from within. How much is actually motivating this, I love God. And because of this love, I am motivated to do the right thing. Think about something in your life, and I can't pull it out for you. Each of you, think about something in your life that you do the right thing. It's not always easy. In the past 3 days, I should say one day probably, past 3 days, isn't there something that you've done that was the right thing to do, but you didn't really feel like it? Can you all think of something like that? Some of you have something in your mind, something you did, didn't, as small as you did the dishes instead of whatever you wanted to do, to bigger, submitting yourself to some direction given by authorities that you didn't feel like, whatever. What was your motivation for doing the right thing? What was it? And again, it's healthy. It's healthy if this is what my parents told me to do. That's good. But I'd like to stimulate the concept that as you go about life, you ask the question, is God, as you're doing the right thing, is this pleasing God? Is there a love? Because I love Him, I have this desire that He be pleased with me. And stimulate that concept. I want to share with you this little illustration of the life of someone who was motivated by love. And then we'll come back to this principle. So can you just go with me, again, forgive me if some of you have heard me share this before, a little snapshot of Mary Magdalene. And to you, my sweet daughter, Delina. I named one of my daughters Delina. It's after this, Magdalene. And so, Delina, this is your namesake. Okay, daughter mine? Mary Magdalene had an inner motivating love that I marvel at. So you can see it here on the bottom of this page as we process this concept of loving God. I'm going to go through those scriptures. You're welcome to flip through them with me. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to try to do this briefly. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3 is the first snapshot. We jump through many scriptures, but the central theme is Mary Magdalene. Okay, we're going to get this little snapshot of a biography of her life. Luke chapter 8, when I saw this years ago, it so blessed me. And again, forgive me if you've heard me share this before. But as we look at love, let's look at her little biography. And it came to pass, Luke chapter 8, verse 1, afterward that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So here's Jesus going from village to village. The 12 are with him, and he's preaching the glad tidings. Verse 2, and a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Did you get that? This lady was a lady who, at the beginning of the biography that we can find of her life, she had 7 devils in her. I don't know if I know of anyone that had 7 devils in them. Do you? This lady had, out of whom went 7 devils. I have seen where there are people and it seems like there's devilish influence on them. And I've watched, as we've lived in Africa, we saw some of that where it sure looked like there was demonic activity. The drums start going and things start getting feverish, whether it's a wedding or whether it's a funeral. It seems like those are two common places where people tend to get excited, even here, right? Well, anyway, there they can get really excited. And the drums start going, and then all of a sudden, you know, one time my wife was at a place where this lady starts shaking, and I don't remember what all happened. They went and just covered her with a sheet, and my wife asks, I don't remember what all she asked. I should have asked her before I came up here. What's going on with this lady? And the response was, oh, she does that at times. And so we just, cover her up, and she starts shaking. And, another time when the drums are going, a fella goes out bored stiff. B-O-A-R-D, bored, like a board. And they can basically grab him by his head and his feet and haul him off, get him out of so people can't see him. And there's just seemingly demonic things that happen. Here's a lady who had 7 spirits cast out of her. She was under bondage. She was under agony. And she had these spirits controlling her. And then she met Jesus. And these 7 spirits were cast out. Verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. So this was Mary Magdalene, was one of them with this group of ladies. was one of them with many others, which ministered unto him of the substance. And so the picture I get of this lady is here she was, bound by the devil, bound by sin, bound by a horrible mess, and she meets Jesus. And I don't know, we don't have the proceedings of what happened. We don't know how he prayed. We don't know her faith. We don't know what all went happen. But this lady was delivered. And she knew she was delivered from these evil spirits. And immediately the response of her heart was to turn and begin to minister. And minister. Do you think a lady who had seven spirits, seemingly not married, seemingly she was with some other ladies, do you think she was a wealthy one? I seriously doubt it myself. Maybe, but I doubt it. But here she was, delivered, and she turns and says, all right, how do I support this Jesus that just delivered me? And she began ministering to him. Ministering to him. In whatever way that meant, I don't know. If it meant cooking some meals, if it meant, I'm not sure. But out of her heart, of a delivered, set-free heart, was ministering. Ministering to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We go to, I owe all that I have to him. Jump to Matthew. Again, we're trying to go chronologically here. We don't have much info. Matthew 27, this delivered lady. Now in Matthew 27, verse 55 and 56. I am taking too long here, aren't I? Let's keep going. And many women were there beholding afar off. So then the next snapshot we have is Jesus on the cross. And there were many women beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee. Again, it says ministering unto him. Among which was Mary Magdalene. That's the first name that was put in there. These women that followed him were ministering unto him, among which were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. So here is again, were these ladies, and they were following, and the next snapshot we get is actually Jesus on the cross. And you know where Mary is? She's right there. She's with Jesus. How much dying do you think she did to do the right thing and follow Jesus? Just think about it with me. How hard was that for her? Using this concept here, this little illustration. How much did she say, well, I really wish I could do this today, but I probably better follow Jesus around and see how I can help. And yeah, he's on the cross, and I wish I could go and do this or be there or talk to that person, but I guess I probably should stick it out. Do you really think that's what was in her heart? Nobody else thinks so either. I don't think so. Here was this woman, delivered, set free. Her immediate response was to turn and begin ministering and ministering. And the next snapshot we have, Jesus on the cross, and it says that was her name was mentioned first, and here she is ministering to Jesus. I think she may have been a bit confused, don't you? We'll see later that I think she was. We'll see in later verses as we try to grasp what was going on. Here she was. This is the man hanging on the cross who is dying in agony. This is the man who set me free. Can I say man? I don't know where she was at in her understanding of Jesus as God, but I think there was confusion happening. He set me free. I was in my bondage. I was in my mess. And here he is, the answer to my life. And he's hanging there. And she's there. The one and only thing that she loved is hanging, dying. Where else does she have to go? She doesn't want to be anywhere else. It's all about him. And so here she is at the foot of the cross. John 19. Little snapshots we can get of Mary Magdalene. Delivered, then at the foot of the cross, ministering. That was her heart. Verse 25. Now there stood, John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and who else? Somebody say it for me. There she was at the foot of the cross. Now, it said earlier she was a distance away, and now it says she's at the foot of the cross. Do you think she moved a little closer? I don't know, but that's a little the picture I get. Here she is, maybe at a distance, confused. Here's the man who revolutionized my life. Now here I am, I don't have anything else to do with my life. And wait, what's going on? Maybe confused. And then the next snapshot we have, she's at the foot of the cross. Is it possible she moved in a little closer? Mark 15. We're just at the end of each of the Gospels. And I believe every one of them brings her in just a little bit, this little picture of her. Mark chapter 15, verse 47. And so I tried to create as chronologically as I could here. And so now here we have Jesus. He's been taken down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea took him down, bought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in linen, laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of the rock, rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher, verse 47, and Mary Magdalene and Mary of the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Do you see what I see there? She was with him at the foot of the cross. She seems like a distance. She came up. She's at the foot of the cross. Then she's at the tomb. Where was she all this time? Following Jesus. She was there. Her Lord was there. And so when it's time to take him down, it doesn't say all the disciples were there. It doesn't say there was a crowd of whatever there. It says Mary Magdalene was there. And she watched them take down this body. And again, as we'll see a little later, I think there was confusion going on. There was heartache going on. And then she followed as they hauled his body to the tomb. And it says she beheld where they laid him. Her life was all wrapped up in this Jesus. This one who had revolutionized her. That's what her life was all about. That's all she had. She was a demonic possessed person set free by Jesus, and so now let's follow him. Where are we going next? Back to Matthew. She followed to the tomb there in Mark. Back to Matthew 27. If you held your fingers in all the Gospels, you'll see we're jumping around. Matthew 27, 61. So then here we are, Matthew 27, 61. And there was Mary Magdalene, so they laid it in a tomb, verse 60, hewn out of the stone, rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. So here, a lot of people, they took this body, and they stuck it in a tomb, rolled the stone over. Now what? I guess we leave, and we go home. Do you know what Mary Magdalene did? She didn't go home. What's the next verse say? Verse 61. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Okay, she's revolutionized, set free, begins to follow, ministering unto Jesus. That was her life. She follows him all the way. There he is on the cross. She's in agony. She moves a little bit closer. She's beholding this Jesus who did everything for her. He's taken down. They take him to the tomb. She follows behind. And then people put him in the tomb, roll a stone over the door, and people leave. And Mary Magdalene sits down and just stays. Now what? This is who my life was wrapped up in. This Jesus. And she sat down and she stayed there. Right there at the tomb. Mark 16 Verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the Mary mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So apparently, she did leave after a while. She didn't stay there for all the days that Jesus was there. She didn't. Because here we have this picture. So she must have sat down that day when they, and I don't know how long she was there. How long sitting into the evening did she just sit there? What did she do the next days? What agony was happening inside of her? Sabbath was passed. All right, Sabbath is passed. First thing, first opportunity. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Here she is. She doesn't have anything else to do. She had to rest on the Sabbath, but now the Sabbath is over. Where's the first place Mary Magdalene wants to go? Back to her Lord. Well, Mary, you really should do the right thing. It's after the Sabbath. It's the first day after the Sabbath. So why don't you go ahead and do the right thing and go up there. Did she feel compelled by exterior sources? If you have any of the concept I have of Mary, I don't think so. And again, I don't want to downplay those. Those are right, but I want to encourage this concept. There was a love burning in her heart. She loved her Lord, and so the first opportunity she got, she was back out there, and she took her spices along. Where she got the money, the finances, the spices, I don't know, but she came up with them somehow, and she was back to anoint the body. And remember, there's a stone over the door. What's she going to do about that? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if her faith was saying, hey, I don't know, but she headed back with her spices. verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. She wasn't waiting around. She didn't dawdle around, wishing she could stay in bed, but she couldn't. She had no. She loved her Lord. And there was a compelling love inside of her that drove her. Very early in the morning before the sun was up. Verse 3, and they said among themselves, so they knew this, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, so here they are walking up. Who's going to roll away the stone? This one they love is in there, and they're bringing their spices. Who's going to roll away the stone? And so they're walking up. And then, when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, through verse 8 here, entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Here's these ladies, and they're walking up, and all of a sudden, they see this white-robed, what's it say, young man, right? Young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were afraid, and he saith unto them, be not afraid. This one that they're afraid of speaks and says, be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. That all resonated. They knew that. Then he said this little statement. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell the disciples and Peter, and that's a precious little thing, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. And Mary's one of those, right? Went out quickly, fled the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They didn't even, it says they didn't say anything to any man. They were shaking. What is going on? There's questions and confusion. Now for sure, this body that they thought they were going to anoint is not there. And this young man sitting in a long white robe just told them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But go and tell them, he's risen. He's not here. What all do you think was going on in her mind and her heart? I think there was a lot of questions. It's a lot of confusion, a lot of things that were happening there. I'm going to jump back to John. John chapter 20. So apparently somehow someone must have shared, because in John 20 we have the disciples going to see this thing. John chapter 20, verse 10 and 11. Then the disciples went away. Oh, did I get the right place here? 20, 10 and 11. Went away again into their own home. Okay, so they went home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, okay, so the disciples went. I must have skipped there. The disciples went. Then cometh Simon Peter following, and he went into the sepulchre and saw the linen clothes. So Peter went in there. He saw what's going on. And Mary was there too, apparently. We'll see here in the next verses. And they're trying to figure this out, and they're all confused. And then the disciples went away again to their own home. The disciples saw it, and they turn around after being there, I don't know how long, and they went home. What's going on? What's happening? But I have a question. What do you think Mary did? Just, maybe you already read the verse, but if you haven't read the verse, what do you think Mary did? Any ideas? But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Where's my Lord? That one that revolutionized me. That one that I love from the very depths of my being. Where is he? She had nothing else to live for. She stood without weeping. And as she wept, she stooped and looked into the sepulchre. Here she is, left all by herself. Mark 16, 9. Now when Jesus, I'm just Mark and John here. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. There we have Jesus now. He rose the first day of the week, but he hadn't appeared to anyone. And I have a question. If the God of heaven was going to appear to someone, as if Jesus wants to show himself to someone, and he's going to choose someone out of all the people in all the world to show himself first to, who do you think it'd be? I don't know, but I can imagine there's, to me, my concept of God, there's something God loves about people that love Him. There's something God loves about people that love Him. And in general, you might think, well, surely he went to the disciples and he showed up to Peter, or he showed up to John, or he showed up. And I love this little verse. I think I might get chills when I read it most every time. Mark 16:9. Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Hallelujah! This lady whose love was all wrapped up in Him. God knew it was Peter that was going to stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach to thousands, right? He knew it was Thomas that was going to travel all the way to India preaching the good news and end up being boiled. He knew the Apostle John was going to outlive them all and be the apostle of love that directed tremendous and influenced lots of things and would end up on the Isle of Patmos and wrote the book of the Revelation. And he knew that James was going to be a pillar and help guide the church. But do you know who Jesus appeared first to? A lady who loved Him deeply. That's what I think. And God said, all right. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. I'm going to appear first to Mary Magdalene. Now we're back to John, verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, the one sitting at the head, the other sitting at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, okay, Jesus hasn't appeared first, to her yet. But she's there at the sepulchre. Why are you weeping? These two say, and when she had, because they have taken away my Lord. My Master's gone. My Lord is gone. That's why I'm weeping, and I don't know where they've laid Him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus, Jesus' first appearance. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And now Jesus speaks to her. Whom seekest thou? Jesus, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if they have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take care of him. Listen, sir, I love this man. He revolutionized my life. My life has been all wrapped up in his, and it's all that matters to me, and I'm just following him around. Sir, just tell me where this dead body is that's been dead for a few days. Just tell me where it is. I'll take him. That's the kind of love she had. Jesus saith unto her, just picture her there weeping, brokenhearted, confused, wondering. And Jesus said unto her, one little word here. And he allowed her mind and heart to be enlightened. He said, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. That is to say, Master. Now what was happening inside there? This poor dear lady's emotions. Turmoil, joy, questions. Probably just about to explode. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. Are you that kind of a person? Do you love him like that? Do you see that little lady with her life all wrapped up in Jesus? And it's all about him. So, I guess two questions came to my mind as I processed loving God and as I processed this concept of an inner motive of love drawing me. Two questions came. The first question was, how do I know where my love's at? You know what I'm saying? If you're anything like me, you can look at yourself and say, all right, do I love him? How much? I'm not sure. That question comes to me is how? And how do I love him? And then the second question was, how do I grow in that love? Right? We all sit here and we think of Mary, and so we say, God, make me love you. I want to love you with all heart, mind, soul, all, four times. And we want that. But how do we do that? How do we grow in that? Again, question one was, where am I at? And question two is, how do I grow in that? I'm sorry, I forget. I'm supposed to be done at 9:45, is that right? Yes, thank you. Okay, 9:45, so I'm going to try to be done at 9:40. And on this next page, I have practical suggestions for checking my love. You read through that, and you process. If you could, just prayerfully read through that and say, okay, God, where are my loves? What do I love in life? What is motivating me from the inside? And again, I'm not sure how many of these to read, how many of these to process. One that I don't have on here, I scribbled in my notes, is when you're having a good time, or you look back on a day and it was a good day, what is it that made the day good? Do you know what I'm saying? You look back on a day or a week or whatever, what is it that made it good or bad? And I wonder if you might not find a little bit of what really motivates you, because when that's fulfilled, then we tend to be happy. And we feel like it was a good day or a good week. When that's not fulfilled, we tend to think, oh, it might have been a bit negative. Can we find a little bit with some of these questions here, what is your true love and motivation? I remember being challenged with this thought. Brother Denny said years ago, he said, young people, and I was sitting where you're sitting, he says, what do you want in 10 years? You can have it. You can probably have it. If you want, and I'm just quoting him. I remember, if you want to have a big truck that roars and has a lot of power, you can have it. If that's what you're looking for, you can have that. If you want, and I don't remember all the things that went down through my mind of things you can have, but if you want to be a lover of Jesus that's laboring in His kingdom, walking in holiness, you know, whatever the things in 10 years, you can have it. You can. Are you going to be exactly like Jesus? No. But you're going to be headed in a direction, and you can be fulfilling what you're looking for. But all the exterior motives are absolutely godly and necessary. But if you don't get this one, I don't think you're going to get there. If you don't get that inner core that says, I want Him. I want Him pleased. I want Him glorified. So there was some questions there. What do you like to talk about? What conversations are you drawn to? Who's the center of the conversation when you're having a good conversation? Who's kind of central? How important is it that I get said what I want to say? You know, all those questions. And I have a few of them here. But then I'm going to go down here. Suggestions for growing. Young people, if you want something to grow, it has to be fed. Right? If you want something to die, you simply starve it. And if you want your love to grow, feed it. Feed it. And so I'm going to throw out, what do I have here? 7 suggestions. I'm going to encourage you, number one, consistently ask God to give you a love for Him. And I don't know what Brother Levi is going to share on the Holy Spirit, but ask Him to fill Him with His Spirit. That's where God is, in us. To me, that is the beautiful change from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. One of the major ones is He wants to come and live in us and actually change who we are naturally. Change us. Not leave us just same old me that we're constantly fighting against that inner draw and desire that lusts after the wrong things. He wants to come and actually change those desires and make you desire to love Him. Desire to obey and follow Him. To where it's actually an inner desire. It's not this constant beating down. Yes, we'll look at this concept of discipline. We have to deal with our flesh, but there's this inner desire that helps me. That's a beautiful, amazing concept I don't think I tap into enough, and I don't think most of us do. He wants to change us, young people, and give us a love that burns and motivates us, and we want to be what He wants us to be. It's beautiful. Ask Him to fill Him with your Spirit so that that love inside actually motivates you. Do that on a consistent basis. Ask and keep on asking. Number 2, study God. And yes, that means here, and we'll look at some of those concepts, but not just here. You study, think about God. Who is He? How is He? What has He done? And marvel and let it cause you to worship. Let God be your study. What's he like? How's he like? What's he think? What does he do in the world? And I'm just going to go on to number three. It kind of runs into this. Learn to worship God. It's something in my life that has come back from time to time. And I it kind of fades in my life. But when it comes back afresh, I realize, yes, learn to marvel at who God is. And when you come, and when you find yourself in the place, we're going to talk about suggestions for prayer tomorrow. But to me, one of the basis of this is, a basis concept is, if you marvel at God, who he is, you got to stop thoughts about yourself, thoughts about your own life, and marvel at who God is. Sometimes people like to do it out under the stars. I don't know if any of you, does Kentucky get dark enough you can see stars like Vermont does? Does it get dark? Not much light pollution. Not many neighbors. You can't see neighbors' lights. You can't see any lights, really. And then you look up at the sky and you see the Milky Way. And just stop and marvel a little bit. And I didn't write down the statistics. We've all heard them, right? The first star is how many million miles away? The sun's 93 million, if I'm remembering right. And the star after that's how many million miles? And supposedly the sun is, you can put a million Earths inside the sun if you go by the statistics. And that's how big the sun is. And the sun, there are stars, you can put a million suns inside the star. And it just goes on and on. And you can just marvel, and that's God. And he made the stars also, right? So that was a small thing that happened on that day in creation. That's the God of heaven. And you and I are down here on little planet Earth. And he cares about us. And he guides our lives. Do you love him? Is that cause for worship? Some people like to stand. My boys climbed Mount Marcy and they took a few pictures when they were up there. It's the tallest mountain in New York. And that's, I realize, that's not even like a lot of mountains. But when you go stand on top of mountains, as a young man, I lived in Idaho for a few years. You stand on top of a mountain and you look as many miles as you can see fading into the distance. That way, that way, that way, that way. And you just marvel. How long would it take a big dozer and an excavator to create one of those? And God spoke and happened. Do you know what I'm doing for you right now? I'm helping you meditate and marvel on God. You learn to do that. And it doesn't have to be stars. It doesn't have to be mountains. Try it a different way. And I'm just looking at creation. We need to go beyond creation. But is it possible? Now I'm going beyond my scope of understanding, okay? And I'm stepping into something I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway because I marvel at this. Do you know how the scientists keep studying things smaller and smaller and smaller under the microscope? And now they have theories of what might actually be happening, and they actually don't know what's happening. But they're guessing because it's so small they can't see it. And so my boys, my children were learning, now I forget, the smallest thing they've named down inside of an atom. What's it called? I forget. But they don't actually can't see it. It's a guess. Is it possible that inside of that, there's something smaller and it's broken down? Is it possible that not only there's an infinity east and west, infinity, marvel at that one, is it possible that in smallness there's infinity? See, now I really popped a balloon and I don't even know. Is that possible? I don't know. God does the impossible. Can you have an infinity getting smaller and smaller? Not only bigger and bigger, but smaller. This is our God. And he cares about me and you. Again, sorry, no proof on that one. Nobody ever will, right? I'm getting a little distracted. Unhurried time at marveling at God. Note a brother or sister, where they've come from and what God's doing, and realize God is at work. Marvel at the works of God through, as you read about outreaches and what God's doing in hearts and lives and takes people from a horrible mess and makes them holiness. Marvel at what God is doing in people, and you can go on and on. Marvel at and get marvel, worship. And when you find yourself, and we'll talk about this a little more, I guess I'm getting carried away, aren't I? In your time before God and you're marveling, you're worshiping this God of heaven, it'll bring a settled awe and quietness over your heart. That'll help build a love down deep inside. Number four, read and study the life of Jesus. They're all here on this page. Noting how he lived and how he related with choices he made. So the concept here is not only marvel at God's greatness, Take his principles and apply them to your daily, everyday life. Thoughts, actions, questions. There are principles here that apply to me. You all are looking at me like, duh, what a dumb thing to say. That's so obvious. But I'm not sure you get it, to be really honest with you. Do you get it? If in your quiet time, you read your chapter, you pray your words, but it actually hardly affected, it didn't really connect with your daily life, you didn't get it. Now I realize we need to have our quiet time, whether the feelings and the whatever's there, keep on going. We'll get to those things too. But when you realize I have an issue in my life, at work, at home, relationship with someone, concept, do you know that right here will affect you? Do you get it? And again, dare I say this? Some of us don't. Because we can go through our days and our life, and there isn't a hunger that God has answers for me. It changes me. It revolutionizes. Could you get excited? I'm supposed to be done. You get excited. There's answers right here. Daily, take hold of that concept. Take everyday things. And obviously, I'm going to encourage you, throw your energies into some of these practical suggestions we're going to find as we go through this little booklet. How to grow in my love for God. Learn to love others and love them deeply, sacrificing yourself for them. Did you get that? Sorry, not very deeply yet. I haven't gotten very deeply yet. I'm still trying to figure this out. What does it mean to actually sacrifice myself deeply for someone else? I'm trying to learn it. As you do, you're crying out to God, Lord, teach me to love you. That I would be a Mary Magdalene, my life all caught up in him, following him around in everyday life with this inner love burning inside of me. All right. We'll get a little more practical in the days to come. Could you just take a couple minutes? I'm 1 minute late. I mean, you have 4 minutes, okay? 4 minutes. I want you to write something down. Over here too. Got it, young man? Write something down. What did I say? What stuck out to you? Anything? What do you want to grow in? What do you need? What don't you? What you want? What's this mean to your everyday life? Jot a sentence down somewhere on the margins of this book. I didn't leave you room for it except on margins and sides. Just take 3 minutes now. Lord, bless these dear young people. Thank you that I get to spend this week with them. Oh God, would you make us love you? Love you deeply. You know, so often self and all that gets on that inside circle. And I didn't have time to talk about that. But we want you there. That being our inner motive in love. Bless you all.